It's 12:06. Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, also online at www.ijpr.org. I'm Eric Tia with you again this afternoon for Open Air, and joining me this hour is a very special guest. I am thrilled to welcome Daryl Anger to Open Air. Daryl, thanks for dropping by.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
You're kind of traveling back and forth through the area. You're going to be up at the String Summit, which is the 16th through 18th,
up at
the Hornings Hideout. That's in North Plains.
Yeah, North Plains. It's a little bit west of Portland, Oregon. It's going to be a great weekend festival with Yonder Mountain and some of their guests. I think they're having some Grateful Dead dudes up there. And,
Rhythm Devils, yeah. They're actually going to be at Brit as well in Jacksonville. Let's see, Moe's going to be there, Danny Barnes, Crooked Still.
Yeah, and my group, the Republic of Strings, and of course I'll be playing with Yonder all three nights, guesting with those guys.
You know, looking back over your pedigree, your musical pedigree, starting way back, I guess, in the 70s, Dave Grisman Group.
Yeah, we started that group in 1975, I guess. That was pretty exciting times for string music in general. We had our group and some people out on the East Coast, the New York All-Stars, people like Tony Trischka and Andy Statman, and those guys. Everybody was, you know, just trying to invent a new kind of string band music that would not replace bluegrass, but add to the collection of Celtic and bluegrass and stuff that was being played. We were trying to get some contemporary music going in this format, you know, the string band.
Yeah, that group always seemed to play fringe music. You know, it didn't really fit into a particular category. I'm wondering if, looking back, could you have imagined a better way to get started, a better group to start with?
That was the ideal situation for me. I can't even think about how much more ideal it could have been, because I was into everything. I was into pop music. I was into blues, all kinds of roots music, and everything else, the Beatles. I think David and I both shared a real love for, you know, like the Beatles and everything that they did to change music in general. And, you know, that kind of very ambitious, you know, multi-layered and eclectic approach to music worked for us in the context of a string band. It was sort of time for somebody to do that, you know.
Do you think of yourself as a bluegrass musician?
The first thing I got serious about was bluegrass music, just because it was a kind of music that you didn't have to, you know, play, you know, you didn't have to rehearse in the garage all the time and stuff like that. I was into rock. I was into everything, but bluegrass was the thing that I sort of focused on for a while and got deeply into. And David always said that, no matter what kind of music you wind up doing, you should really, you know, just try to, like, deeply explore one style of music so that you really know everything about it. Because, you know, even though you want to play all different kinds of music, and there really is no difference between styles of music at some level, when you do explore one style very deeply, that you get into, like, detail and a lot of more meanings, you know, and just kind of this, you attain this sort of very philosophical and emotional depth that you wouldn't if you were just like playing a lot of different styles all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that comes up a lot when I read interviews with other musicians, when your name comes up, it is pretty consistent, is that you are somebody other musicians want to play with, want to listen to. And it's said often that you have created a number of techniques for playing fiddle music that are unique. Is that something that, when you think about it, is more of a cerebral technique in the way you think about music, or is it actual physical techniques?
Oh, no, it's just actual physical stuff, you know. It's funny. I like to think about stuff, and I get on, like, tangents and stuff, but when it comes down to the music, I think probably the reason, you know, if people do want to play with me, it's because I'm, you know, I just have, you know, good rhythm, and I have fun, you know, doing it. And I think, you know, that it comes down to a really basic level of, like, you know, just, you know, is that person just fun to be, you know, it's like, is that person fun to be around, you know, and what is that, how does that translate into music? Well, you know, do they have good rhythm? And can they play in tune? And it's stuff I've worked on all my life. And of course, with the Grisman band, I had two incredible teachers, you know, David Grisman and Tony Rice, both of who are two of the greatest, acoustic string rhythm players who ever lived. So I picked up a lot from those guys. I definitely had a lot to learn, and managed to learn that. And that worked really well. You know, just the way you can apply techniques of sort of bringing the bow down on the strings kind of vertically, a little different, making like drum sounds. You could hear that actually. I'm just hoping that we can get to some music really soon, and I thought maybe we could play a little bit of that. Bruce Smolsky is another great fiddle player who I very much admire, and we've been playing a lot together. He sort of specializes in very old, traditional Appalachian-style music, but he's also really interested in pop music, and I thought it would be really fun. I made a record where I did a lot of duets with various fiddle players, and I thought it would be fun to do like a Jimi Hendrix tune with Bruce, you know, because it's just, you know... There's so many elements of that kind of music that do sort of go with like traditional music. It's super rhythmic and it like really rocks, you know, and it's just like a lot of traditional music does. So, and of course, Bruce is really familiar with all of Hendrix's stuff. So we thought we'd like just try to work out a way to play Voodoo Child and make it kind of convincing, you know. So we did that, you know.
Daryl Anger is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. He will be performing up in North Plains at the String Summit, which is July 16th through 18th, with pretty good bill. Yonder Mountain String Band will be there, Rhythm Devils, Mo, Danny Barnes, Great American Taxi, The Republic of Strings, and Crooked Still. Here's a track that comes from Diary of a Fiddler, right? This one came out back in about 99, 2000, somewhere there.
Yeah, this came out of like a lot of experience, like just playing in fiddle camps. You know, we started having these summer camps for fiddle players, you know, and of course there's always been music camps, summer music camps, but this was kind of a different style, it's a different approach to it, and I started meeting all these great fiddle players, and I go, wow, man, I gotta make a record with you, and I gotta make a record with you, and I gotta make a, you know, so I wound up just dragging all these people into my garage over the course of 2 years, and we just do duets, you know, so it's kind of a record that you kind of have to like fiddle, because that's pretty much all that there is on there, but... it's all different great fiddle players. So this is uses some of those crazy rhythm techniques I was talking about, and of course it's Hendrix tune.
American fiddle version of Jimi Hendrix. It's Daryl Anger, Bruce Molsky. That comes from the album called Diary of a Fiddler. Daryl, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to do a little bit of a demonstration of what you're talking about when you talk about bouncing the bow on the strings and the different technique as opposed to more of a classical style of violin playing. And we're moving a mic stand around above your head, right, to make sure we're not hitting anything.
Yeah. Well, so this is not the technique here. But I'm about to start here. So the fiddle. Usually people think of fiddle as having long notes and stuff. That's the beautiful thing about the instrument is that you can really play these beautiful long notes such as, you know. But it's also a very flexible instrument for playing all kinds of rhythms. And that's kind of what... I helped invent. The actual inventor of this technique was a fellow named Richard Green, who used to play a lot with David Grisman and actually was a original member of the Bill Monroe group who pioneered bluegrass. He was the first northern kid to play with Bill Monroe back in 1964. And he developed this really interesting way of like sort of hitting the bow like down on the strings and then bringing it up again so that you get this kind of like choppy sound. What I'm doing is just kind of slamming the bow straight down on the strings and then bringing it up again. So you get these two kind of, well, the sounds in themselves are not that pretty, but the space in between them is what matters. So if you can get that, you know, you can like just, if you start slow, you can kind of hear that, how this can change. You know, you can kind of, so if you start with just those sounds and then speed them up, and then you like add in some actual notes, like a guitar player might. you have a lot of options, a lot of possibilities there for, you know, to kind of supply sort of a drums and rhythm guitar kind of approach. You know?
And you've been able to take what is essentially a lead melody instrument and almost use it as a percussion instrument in a quartet setting or a trio setting.
Totally use it as a percussion, not even almost at all. Totally use it as a percussion instrument, which made it really easy when we started the Turtle Island String Quartet, which was a group that sort of was consciously formed to, you know, kind of convincingly get across jazz and contemporary music in the context of a string quartet. And we sort of followed the mold of like what we did with David's group. You know, just said, well, you know, if David could do it, we can do it. And, you know, because we were, you know, with David, we were playing all kinds of stuff. It was all instrumental, but we were still playing, you know, kind of gypsy music and jazz and swing and you know, kind of some fusion stuff. We'd occasionally pull out a Chick Corea tune. And of course, David's amazing originals, which were, you know, some of which were very symphonic and had a lot of interesting things going on.
Yeah, you know, of all of the groups that you've been in over the years, the duo with Mike, Psychograss, Montreux, New Grange, Turtle Island seems to be the most classical of all of them. But yet there was also some jazz elements of that and a lot of improvisation. And I'd love to ask you to describe or at least share your thoughts on the difference between the improvisation in music like bluegrass and the improvisation that you find in jazz.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, with bluegrass and, like, for instance, bebop music, they were both pretty much invented, you know, right after World War II, you know, pretty much in the same year. You know, you could, a lot of those guys came back from the war and they were just kind of nuts, you know. They wanted to play some nutty music, and bluegrass is just, you know, they share a lot of similarities, just in fact, there's, like, you know, a lot of hot soloing and, you know, instruments were, you know, it kind of stopped being a dance music in a way. It was more sit down, tempos sped way up, and it just became very, you know, forceful. Of course, with bluegrass, you had all string music. You had all string instruments. You didn't have any drums. You had a lot more limited, you know, chord progressions. You know, basically, you had about 6 chords to work with in bluegrass. And with bebop, it was, you know, very simple structures. A lot of it was just taking popular tunes of the day, show tunes, things like that, which had more chords usually, and they would change. You know, it would get complicated. But the whole point of bluegrass is, or bebop, was to make everything as complicated as possible. So they'd like add more chords in between the chords and substitute chords on top of the chords and then play these incredibly complicated melodies. Just because... because, you know, it's like one of those things, because you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in the sense that there was this sort of, you know, the feeling of both kinds of music was sort of like very extroverted and fast, and kind of a different, you know, different sound, you know, drums, saxophone, piano compared to a string band, and then, you know, different area of the country, different color guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, something that you said a minute ago sparked a memory for me, which is that, you know, whether it's a jazz setting or a bluegrass traditional American music setting, when you get to jam sessions, it's largely a lot of really talented people trying to rip each other's arms off a little bit in their solos. But you made a comment a minute ago that actually reminds me of something very similar that Miles Davis once said, which was that it's not about the notes you play, it's about the notes you don't play. And I hear that in your soloing when you're at these jam sessions playing with people. That it's not always just about who's the fastest, who plays the most notes, who plays the longest continuous line, but it's about finding that space in between the notes.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's just people relate to melody mostly. You can get people excited with like kind of a cascade of notes for a short time, and then, you know, even a hurricane can get boring if it goes on and on. but this, you know, this, I mean, think, you know, maybe like developing all that rhythm stuff kind of made me think more about like what I'm doing when I'm actually playing just melodies and, you know, being able to leave stuff out. Kind of also depends on what tradition you're talking about too, because if you're playing, you know, traditional fiddle music, then, you know, if the fiddle stops playing, then like everything stops. People stop dancing because, like, you know, like, where'd you stop? You know, but if you're playing in a more sophisticated kind of group that might, I mean, a more modern style, like bluegrass, they, you know, if the fiddle stops or the soloist stops playing for a second, then other instruments are continuing to go on. And then, so you can be a little bit more, you know, you can have more silences and more imitate like singing, you know, or like, you know, phrases or even speech, things like that, where you might have some pauses,
yeah, right.
like to make a, you know, a little bit of a, you know, whatever, you know, suspense or set stuff off, make rhymes, things like that.
Could we hear you play a fiddle tune?
Yeah, well, I'll play a little bit of a fiddle tune that I wrote. This is a commemorative piece about melting. I don't know if anybody in the listening audience have ever had the experience of, you know, putting some water on the boil with your tea kettle and then like, well, okay, it's going to take a while to boil, and watch, tea kettle never works anyway, and you have to walk away from it. And so maybe you go and write some letters or clean up the house or answer some email or go on a world tour or something like that. And you come back, and of course there's a big glob of molten metal on the stove. So it's called Melt a Tea Kettle. And it's just, yeah, basically there's no words or anything, but you could probably make up your own words to it. I'll just play a little bit of that because it does go on. It's like a 10-minute tune because that's about how long it takes to melt a tea kettle. We don't really need to go in
there. Daryl Anger's my guest here on Open Air, live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio, performing at the String Summit up in North Plains, the 16th, 17th, 18th, the big event with Yonder Mountain String Band, Rhythm Devils, Mo in a 20th anniversary performance, also Crooked Still. It's Daryl Anger on Open Air.
Yeah, Melt a Tea Kettle. This is going to feature like the no space because it's just me and it's a traditional fiddle. So if you hear any open spaces, it's because I made a mistake.
Daryl Anger live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're streaming at ijpr.org. That tune is called
Melt the Tea Kettle.
And I read somewhere that about your tuning process or one of the things that you do to practice and or center yourself, I guess, musically, which is the use of drone. Where did you learn that technique and how do you utilize it?
Well, that technique has been around with like fiddle for forever. And there's a couple of fiddle styles. Near Eastern fiddle styles, Arabian and Persian fiddle styles, Egyptian also, that actually make use of kind of retuning the fiddle to a drone, also Indian. But there's kind of a subcategory of the Appalachian fiddle styles that are pretty cool, and they also involve tuning the fiddle differently. So,
and you've just grabbed a different fiddle. You've grabbed another fiddle that looks like maybe you soaked it in coffee for a week.
yeah. There's really not that much different. You know, it's just painted funny. It's built by a really great fiddle maker out in Brooklyn. Doesn't really affect the sound at all. But I wish the folks in the listening audience were hearing this in color, and then they could see all the cool.
Before you head out, we'll take some pictures of it. We'll put them in our Facebook gallery.
Sounds great. So a normal fiddle being tuned like to that these notes, which are, it's not important what the names of the notes are, but with this other Appalachian style, you'll get all different kinds of tunes. You'll be tuned to a chord, an open string. So this is. So that pretty much that happens to be tuned to the key of A.
You got an extra string on that one, too.
I got an extra string. That's, listeners, let's not talk about that. I don't know if this is relevant at all, but yeah, it's happening to open A. When we say open, we mean it's all tuned to a chord. you can kind of hear that it's tuned to a major chord. So that kind of limits to some degree your ability to play in a lot of different keys.
Uh-huh, sure.
But if for that one key, it's amazing. So I'll just play a little bit of a couple of traditional style pieces. I've been trying to learn this style for a long time. It's very, there's things about it that are incredibly easy and things that are all, that are unbelievably difficult, and not that many people can do this. And maybe I can't do it either. We'll see. I don't know. Try it out. Okay. This is a medley of two tunes, one entitled Piney Woods and the other is familiar to many of you. It's called Black Mountain Rag.
That is Daryl Anger live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service. We will take a quick break and be back with more. You're listening to a live session on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Daryl Anger joins me live in the studios of Jefferson Public Radio. Daryl, I wanted to ask you a little bit about teaching. It seems to be a really big part of what you do, both in terms of individual students, but also these string camps. How did you get involved with these, and what are they?
Well, they're like any summer music camp, except they focus on fiddling, and not only just usually it's not only just one style of fiddling, but like kind of the whole spectrum. And certain camps, I started working with Mark O'Connor, who started a camp. He was like the third guy to start a camp. I think the first camp of that sort was started in West Virginia at Augusta. It's an Augusta Heritage camp. And then Jay Unger, the guy that wrote the that beautiful waltz for the Civil War series,
mm-hmm.
started
Burns
a camp up in Ashokan, New York. And then the great Celtic fiddle player, Alistair Fraser, started a camp in California. And then Mark came along and kind of like souped everything up and started this amazing fiddle camp in Tennessee. And I started teaching there. And that's when I really started teaching in earnest. This was about early 90s or something like that. And I really started getting into, how do I do this? Why do I do this? And how can I show other people what I'm doing? And that it was a great experience for me. And I keep going. And it sort of developed into something a little bit more intense. I've moved to the East Coast, and I'm a professor at the Berklee College of Music now. And they have a new department called the Roots Music Department. So I'm kind of going back and forth between the roots music and the jazz music, which is kind of what I've been doing all my life anyway.
It almost feels like you're making a little bit of more formal shelf space for this type of music in traditional academia.
Yeah, there's always been, I guess that would usually fall into the ethnomusicology department, where people just like sit around and listen to stuff and study it and like say, oh, that guy sounds a lot like that guy. Maybe they both came from like the same part of Africa or something. But this is like more of a playing thing, and also kind of combined with not only studying the traditional parts, but moving the music forward to some extent, where we're combining actual music theory, so that like people that might want to play like two or three traditional styles of some sort would actually get a chance to learn enough about how music is actually put together and constructed that they could write new music based on, you know, the traditional forms that would be not only good, you know, that would not only be like beautiful, you know, good music, but like have some really connection to the, you know, the traditional styles.
And you've done some work also to promote string instruments in jazz as well. I know, at least for a while, I don't know if you still are on the board of the International Association of Jazz Educators.
That group is no more, but I was, and I had an opportunity to, you know, through some of the older founders of that organization, who many of whom were real string enthusiasts. Dr. Billy Taylor, the great jazz pianist, had played with every major jazz violinist. He was in a band with Stuff Smith. He was in Eddie South's band. He had worked with every one of those guys. And when we got to work with him with Third Alliance String Quartet, it was an amazing educational experience for us, because he would tell stories about these guys. And he had a real affinity for strings. And, of course, the great David Baker, who was one of the first people to sort of invent a way of teaching jazz, was a cellist. So.
And I remember reading an interview that you had given with somebody where you talked about how the tuning of a violin was not all that conducive to playing jazz because of the way jazz tunes work and jazz scales work.
You know, you build jazz like through like stacking thirds, and that's a real common way of like constructing music. And of course, you know, it's not unique to jazz, but the whole point of jazz is sort of like playing substitute and funny, you know, notes over what's called dominant chords, which are seventh chords. The seventh chord might be the kind of chord you might hear in a blues tune, but with jazz, that seventh chord is going to lead to another chord that's also a seventh chord, and it's going to lead to another chord, and it's going to lead to another chord. And so the whole idea that you're like making, you're playing like bizarre notes that have, you know, less and less direct relationship to that chord, but it's a way of discovering like a new territory and making new sounds. That idea can work with other styles of music and does. You know, it's just interesting to see how they fit together and where they don't fit, where they do fit. Of course, with the violin, you wind up playing these like very odd intervals that are, you know, require a lot of pinching and stretching and doing all kinds of crazy things with your hand in order to make that fit. Of course, it's not any more difficult than playing some kind of very advanced violin sonata or anything written by like the Romantic composers. All that stuff is also very difficult. So it's all hard, you know, whatever, you know.
It's Daryl Anger live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service and streaming online at ijpr.org. Daryl, you've picked out another tune that you wanted to play from one of your Republic of Strings albums, and it's an interesting choice because that actually leads me into a couple of questions that I want to ask you about a newer project, a newer album that you have just released, because what you've picked here is from, this is from the album called Generation Nation, and yeah. It's a polska. Not a polka, but a polska, which is a type of ethnic traditional music that you have been working a little bit more recently with a band on. So let's hear a little bit of this tune first, and then I'll ask you about a new album that you've done with the band called Vesson. Music there from Daryl Anger's Republic of Strings from the album Generation Nation. It's called Polska Upstairs. Daryl Anger is my guest on Open Air. Who plays with you on that tune?
That is my group, the Republic of Strings. That is the Republic of Strings is sort of a group which I try to keep at least three different generations of people, you know, moving through. We have younger players and older players. And that particular one was Brittany Haas, great young fiddle player, and Rashad Eggleston, one of the greatest young cellists.
And when you say young, you mean young. I think Brittany joined your group at like 16, right?
She was Yeah, 15, I think, when we actually started the group. I started teaching her at 14. It took about a year to teach her everything I knew. And then I said, well, geez, you know, if you can't beat them, hire them.
So it's a good system. You go around to the fiddle camps.
Yeah.
You figure out who's the most
they
talented.
They pretty much find me.
And then you grab them for your band.
Yeah, I've had many. I've had four or five, you know, incredibly great fiddle players that I've met through fiddle camps. Right now we have a really great version of the group, which with tiny bit older players. Actually, the cello player is an instructor I met at one of the fiddle camps rather than a student, which is really wonderful. His name is Mike Block. He's terrific. He also plays with Yo-Yo Ma. When Yo-Yo Ma needs a cellist, he calls Mike.
Cool.
Kind of cool.
Now, that tune was a polska, which I had referenced just before we heard an excerpt of it, which is a traditional...
It's a traditional Swedish dance. It's related to the Polonaise from Poland. So it's Polish in some way. But it's from Sweden, and it's maybe people probably could hear it's in kind of a 3 meter. It's on like a very slow waltz, but you can like make it go fast by adding beats in between the beats. So yeah, that's been great playing a lot of Scandinavian music. That's you know, it's just like we're seeing like this huge upsurge in interest and invention in string band music all over the world. We got Scandinavia, we got Brazil, we got. Even like places like Indonesia and India, you know, it's all happening, you know, and certainly, you know, in the Northwestern. And of course, you know, the Celtic musicians are going nuts. You know, they're like adding all kinds of, you know, interesting stuff into their music.
And essentially your newest album is one that you worked with Mike and with the group Vessen, which is a Swedish group. They're led by a tremendous nickel harpa player, right? Olaf Johansson? Right?
Yeah, Olaf Johansson. Yeah, incredible. Three unbelievably beautiful players. Fantastic. And yeah, that music of theirs is kind of sweeping the string band world right now. Everybody's learning Vessen tunes and stuff. And those guys are incredible. They're probably the tallest band I've ever seen. And they're, you know, really just beautiful players who, you know, don't rush through things. They are just fantastically, you know, the melodies are incredible. And the way they do it, you know, they get such a full sound with three people. It's uncanny. And so when Mike and I got a chance to record something with them, we jumped at it because I think we share a real similar approach to music. We love traditional music and we love to mess it up. You know?
What is it about that traditional ethnic music from other areas that intrigues you so much?
Usually it's just, you know, just a deep feeling of affinity, you know, for the melodies and stuff like that. You know, it's not, you know, any... You know, I don't know that I have any Swedish, you know, ancestors, although I might. But it really, you know, if the music speaks to you, you know, if you just hear it and it says, oh, this is, you know, something that I feel deeply, you know, then I'm going to go there because that's what music is about. It's about connections between people. It's, you know, that's, you're just trying to make something that people can feel, you know, something about, you know.
Daryl Anger's my guest on Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Can we hear you play something else?
Let's see. What do we got? Solo violin is always a little difficult for me. I'm sort of a reactive player. I like to play with other people. Let's see. I'll play something. I was just thinking about something on this tuned fiddle. Maybe I'll play something on the... this is going to be actually a tune that actually has come through to the Eastern Seaboard and is very popular in Southern Appalachia, but it came from probably from Scotland, actually. It's got about 14 different titles, one of which is called The Blackbird, which refers to Bonnie Prince Charlie, so I think it was like probably some commemoration tune. For his, did he do all right, or was he another one of those guys that lost a bunch of wars? I don't know, I can't even remember that, but, you know, what we do have is, like, a commemoration tune of Bonnie Prince Charlie, so we can say Bonnie Prince Charlie and look him up on the internet, I suppose. But this is a beautiful tune. It's kind of a ballad. I learned it with the title Queen of the Earth, Child of the Stars. So I'll play a little bit of that here. Thank you.
It's Daryl Anger live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. We're also streaming live at ijpr.org. You actually started, as I recall, learning, as most young string players do, classical music first. But in recent years, you've actually talked about how a lot of youngsters are now actually starting to learn string music that is not classical music first and are coming around to classical music. That's got to be a really joyous thing for you to have come across.
Well, that's a great thing. You know, I think, you know, so many players, young players, I mean, it was really difficult for me with classical because a lot of that stuff was just over my head as a little kid. I think if I had, you know, started with fiddle music, I think I would have gotten farther faster. I'm kind of a late developer anyway. You know, whatever you learn, you know, as long as there's like a certain amount of like, you know, just learning stuff by ear, I think what's really exciting is like when people are really starting to combine that, you know, they're combining, you know, regular Western European music theory and just, you know, these tunes that are sort of universal anyway, combining that with like some fiddle tunes and some traditional tunes from other countries and things like that, so that there's a sense of like, okay, well, this is all kind of one music and it's all, you know, there's not, you know, there's not classical music and then like there's everything else, you know. And I've met so many classical music musicians that it's like they couldn't even feel like musicians in other styles of music, and they were just dying to get out of the box. Not that they wanted to leave, you know, classical music, but that they just wanted to feel, be able to feel like musicians playing, you know, whatever, you know, sit down and play a tune with somebody, play by ear, you know, figure out, well, what are the chords? Oh, the chords, yeah, G chord, C chord, F chord, things like that, you know. Just kind of simple, you know, music theory that can apply to whatever, you know, you're playing, if you're playing in the bar or something like that.
We find a lot of that in the recordings that we get here at the station of artists who are not necessarily classical musicians that end up recording some classical music. Mark O'Connor, you brought up his name, yeah, is a great example of that with his fiddle concerto and his, what, mm-hmm, triple concerto that he wrote. Wynton Marsalis from the jazz side has recorded, yeah, some classical things. And what you end up hearing, what we end up hearing, is that there is a somewhat different approach to playing. It's still the notes on the paper, but there's a different feel behind it.
Yeah, it's like any other ethnic music, you know, Western European ethnic music, really. You know, there's just an attitude and an approach. And you see that, I mean, you know, like Celtic music. You know, even differences between the Irish fiddle approach, which is, you know, you get down to differences, you know, where it's just kind of a little swoopy and... even the difference between Irish and Scottish, where you'd have the same thing. You know, it's a little bit more, you know, forceful, almost the same tune. You know, even the differences between just, you know, those small differences make a huge difference. The difference between, bluegrass, fiddle, where you're also playing very forceful and very cleanly. You don't have any decoration, you know. And something like just Western swing, where you're a little bit lighter. A little bit bouncier. And of course within Western European classical music you have all these different styles too. You know, are you playing Romantic style? You're playing Baroque? You're playing, you know, pre-Romantic, Baroque-ish, you know, whatever, you know, Italian, you know, and that's, you see that too. You know, Mozart was writing all these Italian dances, and then he wrote, you know, German dance, and he married, I think, you know, even those guys were aware of the differences between regions. And that kind of stuff is beautiful. You know, it's like, people that collect, you know, accents, things like that. And you kind of want to be able to preserve that to some extent, as well as, you know, people that just have their own individual way of playing stuff. You know, people that have worked really hard and, And that's always a tricky space because, you know, if the style, you know, people might have their own individual way of playing stuff that is like a bad way of playing stuff. But there's also, you know, there's also wonderful, you know, like individual people that just have a way of playing, you know, any of these traditional styles that just is beautiful and well thought out. You know, if they'd spend a lot of time on it, they're going to play it a certain way. It might not be the traditional way, but it might have, you know, some very good reasons for sounding that way. And if it appeals to people, then yeah, let's go for it.
So there are so many different things that you have synthesized in your playing. What is next for you? What is the next adventure, musical adventure that you're exploring?
Well, I'm working with a lot of artists, doing a lot of producing, just going around exploring and really sort of delving into the interaction of instrumental music and vocal music. I mean, getting a lot more involved in people that are singing, I think. And that's just a beautiful thing, you know, just discovering the voice. I'm kind of thinking about trying to sing a little bit myself. Right now it's more of a comedy act, but that could change, you know, at some point. I'm also building instruments. I'm out on the East Coast studying with a great violin maker named John Cooper, who's built violins for everybody, Mark O'Connor and a bunch of the Nashville guys. I just finished my first fiddle about a month ago. I have it with me. I was playing it. It's the one that doesn't sound as good as the other one, but it still sounds decent. It's all right. You know, I have some place, you know, I have some room for improvement, which is always good. So that's exciting. How much time do we have?
Well, we should maybe wrap up with another tune, if you've got
one.
Yeah,
let's wrap up with another tune. I was just talking about, you know, all these vocalists and these great musicians. I just finished up making a record with Joe Walsh, not the guitar player Joe Walsh, but the mandolin player, young, great mandolin player, Joe Walsh. He plays with a group called the Gibson Brothers, and he's doing his own stuff. You have some incredible talent right here in your area. Emmy Phelps, I don't think that name is going to be a strange name to anybody who lives around here. She's a great singer, songwriter, guitar player. She happens to be here. You want to just do a little thing? We finish up with a little bout, and I'll just demonstrate the art of backup fiddling. And it'll be either like how not to do it or how to do it. And hopefully it will be how to do it. So Daryl, how not to do it.
So Daryl, you can go right there above you, and we'll just move the other one around to the other side of the room and call it good.
Yeah, sounds great.
It's Daryl Anger live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. A little bit of reshuffling here in the studio for one last tune with special guest Emmy Phelps. That's Daryl Anger with help from Emmy Phelps on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. Daryl, thanks so much for dropping by. It's been a real pleasure to have you in the studio today.
The pleasure has been all mine, I assure you.
And if you want to catch a more substantial set with Daryl, head north. The String Summit, July 16th through 18th, up at Horning's Hideout in North Plains. Daryl Anger's Republic of Strings will be there. Crooked Still, Infamous String Dusters, The Rhythm Devils, who will also be at Brit in not that long from now. Mo will be there, Yonder Mountain String Band as well. Be back with more music on Open Air, a tune from Paul McCartney, coming up next.